prayer sheets what we're going to be going through. If that helps you to kind of follow along a little bit this morning as we're looking at the end of 2023, beginning of 2024, we're coming into, we're in the middle of the 13th year of ministry here at Southside Free Baptist Church, and just really thankful to God for His grace, all His goodnesses to us. It's been an interesting journey, for our church, last summer, it's been an interesting faith journey as we've waited on God and seen God do tremendous things, and we're very thankful for God's grace. My message this morning is a little bit like a king's speech, where he comes forward and he sets out the goals for Parliament, for that parliamentary session, and just kind of sets that forth as far as the priorities and things that they're looking at, or a little bit like the State of the Union in the United States, where the president gets up and he shares, over the past years, what's coming ahead as well that year. And so I want to lay out kind of the big picture for our church of what we hope to do for God and for God's glory, and really kind of setting a vision. And then I want each one of us to think about, how can I be a part of that? How can I do something to help our church better accomplish a vision that I believe God has for us? As a former youth pastor and camp counselor, I've had opportunities to lead in competition. And so, youth activities and competition takes place, or as a camp counselor especially, I remember those times where you got your team, you're trying to get team spirit into them, trying to get them to identify, in my case, with the Green Mountain Cross Cutters back in 1998 as a counselor at the Wilds, and trying to get them enthused and excited about the events of the week. But inevitably, there would be somebody that just didn't care. They didn't try. They didn't attempt to do anything. So when it came to the cabin cleanup or something, everybody else would be immaculate, and that person's bed would be untidy, and the cabin would get docked because that person couldn't motivate them to get involved in it. Or you go out to the game time, and this person might be the best anchorman in the world for tug of war, but you can't get them motivated to grab hold and use their talent or ability to get something done, okay? They're just not going to let it go down very well. And it reminds me of a story of a bad day at golf. And the golfer comes back, and he's kind of sad. His wife could tell he's sad, so she says to him, "Honey, what's the matter? How'd your golf game go?" And he goes, "Well, it was really rough." She goes, "Well, tell me about it. What happened?" He said, "Well, on the third hole, Jim died." And she goes, "That's terrible." He said, "Yeah, it was hit the ball and drank Jim for the next 15 holes." And, it's not good when somebody's not pulling their weight, you could say. It'd be a lot easier if everybody's involved there and doing something. And really, as a church, that's what it's about. It's about us looking at it and saying, man, we're a team. God's called us to do something for His glory. Let's get in there. Let's do everything that we can for God. And as we think about this morning, there's really only one person that we affect primarily, and that's us, right? And so it's not about somebody else today. It really is about, what am I going to do, or what can I do for God and for God's glory to help us to accomplish the vision that God has for us. God has put us here for a reason. Southside Free Baptist Church exists for a purpose that was on the heart of God. He has a desire for us to be a gospel light within this area. I believe we could be a very brilliant light for God and for God's glory. And again, I just want to encourage us to look at it and say, you know what, I can do something for God. It doesn't matter my age. It could be a child. It could be an older adult. It doesn't matter my abilities or my perceived abilities, but that I can contribute, and that I could be somebody that says, you know what, I'm just going to get on the team, and I'm going to do something to make this better for God and for God's glory. And so like that game, tug of war, it's best if everyone pulls. Now, I would say this. You could have a tug-of-war game, and you could have bigger people on this side. You know what I'm talking about with tug-of-war? You got the rope, two teams on either side, maybe a mud pit in the middle, and you're trying to pull each other across that. You could take a much smaller group of guys, if you could motivate them, and then really dig in, really grab hold, and you could pull a bigger team over that's not as motivated, not as interested. And so, really, again, it's about us saying, you know what, let's do something for God. So I want to challenge us this morning. You need to grab a hold of God's work and make a difference for the Lord. And so are you pulling? Are you doing something? Are you getting harnessed in and saying, okay, God, what can I do? I want to do something for your church and for your work. And so I'm going to grab a hold of this for you. Let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God here this morning, these ideas. Father, I thank you for our church. I am excited about Southside Free Baptist Church. I am excited about what you're doing. And Father, I do believe that there's great things ahead for our church. We're going to see in this message this morning that you're a God that answers prayer. And Father, very specifically and very clearly. And Father, as we see that, and as we look at this this morning, and as we begin to pray and begin to participate, Father, I believe that we're going to see some tremendous things in line exactly with what we're asking about. And Father, these things are biblical. We need to pray about them. And Father, I pray as a pastor, I've set the vision for our church. We're coming into 2024. Father, I pray that we'd be on the starting block, ready to go. I pray that we wouldn't be pulling back. I pray that we wouldn't be sitting back, but I pray that we'd be anticipating, saying, "Dear God, by your grace, I want to run harder and better and wiser in 2024 for the glory of God." So would you motivate us today individually, as well as we're going to, our focus is going to be on the church, but Father, as an individual, it's going to impact us. If we're going to pull our weight or not, if we're going to be part of the team or not, if we're going to do something for God's glory or not, it's going to be our choice. But I pray, God, by your grace, that everybody would just say, by the grace of God, I want to do something for God. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so there's two primary ways that we can grab a hold of that, as it were, the rope and pull for God and for God's glory. The first is intercession. We all need to pray, all right? We all need to be participating in prayer. Remember when Absalom revolted against his father, King David, and he's trying to get the insurrection going, and David's really hurt, and he's walking out of that city, and he's thinking about what's happening. He had a counselor, Ahithophel, that stayed with Absalom. And he had been a very, very, very good counselor, and David knew that with Ahithophel's counsel, Absalom would have a great advantage. And so he prays. He first of all takes it to God in intercession. In 2 Samuel 15:31, one told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Okay? So again, David's got a big problem. Ahithophel is a great counselor. So he gets on his knees and he says to God, he says, "God, make Ahithophel say things that are absolutely foolish. Turn his counsel to foolishness." 2 Samuel 16:23 tells us about Ahithophel. The Bible says, "The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God, the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." And so, I mean, Ahithophel is an incredible counselor, and so David just prays out to God, "God, you got to do something about this. Ahithophel is an incredible counselor," and so God overthrew that. You know, as a church, we are going to face some big problems. And I just tell you, we got some big things on our plate right now that are there that we're asking God about. But you know, that needs to be our heart, where we look at it and we say, "Okay, we got to pray about this. We got to ask God about this." And I'm going to list for us this morning some very specific things that we need to go to God and say, first thing, I'm going to participate in prayer. And I'm going to get involved in prayer. I'm going to get on my knees for our church. And I'm going to begin to ask God. That's why I gave you a prayer list this morning, so that you can look at that and say, you know what? These are vital things that we're going to pray about for Southside Free Baptist Church, because these things are things that, I'll just tell you, it has to do with the very life of the church, the very strength of the church, the very vitality of the church. And so the first thing is intercession, or praying. The second is involvement or participation, okay? And so David prayed about it. He says, "Man, Ahithophel's a great counselor. We need God to overthrow his counsel." But in 2 Samuel 15:32, he does something about it. "It came to pass with that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." And so David prayed about it. But then David participated. He said his counselor there, Hushai, go back. Pretend like you're favorable to Absalom, and you can help me there by overthrowing the counsel of Ahithophel. And so, 2 Samuel 17:14, Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." Okay, so David prayed, "God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Did God answer his prayer? Answer? Yes. But how did God do that? By somebody stepping up and saying, "I'm going to participate in that. I'm going to do something." And so it's not just intercession, it's involvement. It's not just prayer, it's participation. It's us saying, "God, I'm going to pray about this, but I'm also going to get involved and see if I can't do something." You know, there's a man named Edwin Orr that traveled all around Great Britain on a bicycle as a preacher. He was used to the Lord tremendously. But he met a great preacher, Evan Roberts, and you might know that name from the Welsh Revival. And what Evan Roberts and he were speaking about is this: working for God is prayer in action. Being wholly yielded ensures that God will direct you all the day. Therefore, one's task is to listen for the voice of the Lord and then to obey. Prayer in action is me praying and saying, "Okay, God, I am praying about this. I am asking about this." But then as God answers that with something that we need to do, that we step out and say, "Okay, I'm going to do that because I'm going to earnestly pray about it, faithfully pray about it, and then I'm going to participate." It's been said, pray as if everything depended upon God and work as if everything depended upon you. And that's good. It's about, "Hey, God, we're asking for this, and God, we're going to get involved so that we can see this accomplished by your grace and for your glory." And so again, I've got the prayer sheet. We need to pray, but intercession is not enough. We need faith in action. We need to look at it and say, "Okay, how can I participate and see God answer in these ways?" So grab a hold and make a difference for the Lord. And so first of all, this morning, what can we pray about? And this my notes may be a little bit different from the notes that you've got this morning. But God, please help us to build your church. That needs to be one of the first things that we pray about here. We're not just a gathering of individuals this morning. We are a local New Testament church. God adds to this body or takes away from this body as he sees fit, but it's very much something that is assembled by him. The Greek word for church, as you know, is ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. It is not this building. We thank God for this building. And some people look at it and say, "Look at the church." But that's not the church we're speaking about. We're speaking about the body. We're speaking about the people. We could be a church and meet outdoors. And in Scotland, that's happened back in the disruption or back in the covenanting years as well. There have been times where the church has met in obscure places that weren't church buildings, but they were the assembly of the body of Christ. Paul, as the assembly, he calls us a body. 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And just like you and I, in our human body, we've got feet, we've got hands, we've got nose, you know, all these different members of our body, but they're all a part of the same body. But if our body is handicapped, then we are hindered as a body. My nephew, Connor, broke his foot just before Christmas. And so he hasn't been able to do everything that everybody else has been able to do until he was able to a bowl this past week because they got him a kind of a skateboard for his knee, that thing that he could rest on. He was able to bowl, but not as well as he would be able to if his body was functioning really well and all members were doing what they could do. And it's the same for us as a church. God has put different people with different skill sets. Not everybody is going to be a mouth that comes to our church, or everybody a hand or an eye or an ear or something like that. We're going to be different, but that we all have a function within this body. We need to pray about that and say, "God, build up this body as a church." And so how can we pray about that specifically? God, give us healthy members. Well, first of all, God, please give us godly church members. Give us godly church members. It says in Psalm 12, verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." And so we're not going to have a healthy church unless we have a godly church, unless there is a spirituality, a spiritual appetite, a real desire for God, a desire to set apart sin, a desire to live in victory for God. And so we got to pray about that. God, please give us as a church, not just people, but God, give us godly people that want to please you. Titus 2:12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So when we got saved, God desired to sanctify us through His Spirit and identify us with Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ. And so there is a departing from sin and in obedience to God, saying, I want to be a godly, disciplined, spiritual person. I saw it in the military, sadly, and started recruiting in ways that I think that aren't maybe the best way to recruit. They are now seeking to target snowflakes, binge gamers, and bone zombies. It's kind of interesting, right? Why? I guess because that's where people are, and so they're seeking to get, you know, somebody to come in and be part of the military. So they're just kind of targeting all people. A snowflake, I had to look it up, is a 2010 derogatory slang term for a person implying that they have an inflated sense of uniqueness, an unwarranted sense of entitlement, or an over-emotional, easily offended, and unable to deal with opposing opinions. Okay, so I look at that and say, is that a great characteristic for the military? So my thinking is this. They're going to get that person where they're at, and then they're going to take them to where they want them to go, right? Boot camp is going to take that snowflake thing away, I hope, or our military's in trouble, right? Because we don't want a military that has binge gamers, phone zombies, and snowflakes. We want a military that is keen on task, and very disciplined and very focused. The same with the church. As a church, praise God, God takes us from where we're at. He takes somebody that in the Bible we read about as a prostitute or an adulterer or a drunkard or somebody that is living a life away from God. And He takes them and He brought them to Himself and He begins to work in their life and to make them into His image. And God desires to do that. And as a church, we've got to be praying, God, praise Your name for those that get saved. But it's not enough just to see somebody profess faith in Christ and even truly get saved. But that as a church, that we look at our congregation and say, dear God, make us godly. Make us people that are separated unto You, Christ. And we pray that. We pray with us about that. God, give us a spiritual congregation. And then we participate and say, God, help me to be that person. God, help me to be somebody that's truly godly, that's living in victory, that isn't one thing at church, another thing at home, but I'm somebody that's consistently and faithfully following God, somebody that is a godly man, or a godly woman, or a godly child. And so let's pray about that. And then please give us faithful, committed church members, faithful, committed. Psalm 12:1 says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Okay, faithful means to be morally true, to be certain. Okay, somebody that is consistent. If you have a faithful Christian, you're going to be able to predict what they're going to do. In a situation, they're going to be tempted. They're going to do what's right. In a situation where it's a choice about honoring God or dishonoring God, that they're going to make that decision to obey God. You know what they're going to do. There's a geyser called Old Faithful, right? At Yellowstone National Park, I think it is. It currently erupts around 20 times a day. These eruptions are predicted with a 90% confidence rate within a 10-minute variation based on the duration and height of the previous eruption. It goes from 100 to 180 feet. During visitor center hours, geyser statistics and predictions are maintained by the park staff. This is done by good old-fashioned observation, timing with a stopwatch, and writing in a logbook. And they can look at that and say, we know when this geyser is going to go off because this is consistent with what it's always done. And that's why it's called Old Faithful. You know, somebody, again, ought to be able to look at our life and say, all right, they are consistent. I know what they're going to do. If it's a choice, go to church, not go to church, they're going to go to church. If it's a choice, read the Bible, not read the Bible, they're going to read their Bible. If it's a choice, evangelize or not evangelize, they're going to share the gospel, right? I just ask you this. How many faithful Christians are there based on that? How many are there in our day that are consistent in the Word of God, consistent in their church attendance, consistent in their evangelism? I mean, these are things that God expects of Christians. And it's not long for me as pastor to set that before us and say, this is God's expectation. Someday I want to stand before God, and I'm going to give an account for our congregation, and God's going to ask me, if I don't get it out there in front of us, why didn't you say to the church, oh church, be faithful, right? We can understand today that that's a deep desire in the heart of God for faithful, committed people. We pray about them. We pray, God, give us a godly membership. God, give us a faithful membership. And then say to God, God, help me be a part of answering that. And thank God for these developed church leaders. You know, the saying is, everything rises and falls on leadership. That's certainly true in business. You don't have good leadership, you don't have a good business. You don't have good leaders in government. We're worried about that at times in our day because we look at the leadership and we may wonder. But again, we need good leadership. Education. We need good educators. Because that makes a tremendous difference. And so as a church, as God builds our assembly, we need God, again, to raise up leadership. Now, God participates in this certainly and certainly guides in this as we pray about it. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so he gives us pastors and teachers, but my job as pastor is to set out the doctrine and say, this is what God expects of us as far as leadership and development, but my responsibility is to give to the church what is necessary so that the church can do what is necessary. It's not pastor, and I know our church understands, but the pastor is not responsible for all the activities of the church and everything that happens with the church. I mean, no one man can do everything that is supposed to be done. Praise God, that's not the way it is here, and it's not the way certainly that God intends it to be. God intends for us to raise up people that will step into leadership positions and say, I want to lead for God in the local church for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now again, God does this, but God gives us a plan. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And so, in the pastoral epistles, God has said to ministers, is keep your eyes open, look for somebody that is faithful so that you can impart to them what's been imparted to you, so that they can impart to others what's been imparted to them, so that they can impart to others what's been imparted to them. And there's that process of giving out truth and someone taking it in so that they can give it to somebody else. And it's leadership development, the same commit that we already talked about faithfulness, the same commit to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. And so as God does that, God's going to maybe tap somebody on, about that, about being in leadership. They might feel unworthy of it. John Knox did it. One of the greatest, preachers that Scotland ever saw. We've shared his testimony before that the church recognized before he did the hand of God upon his life and tapped him and said, we believe God would have you be the pastor. Moses was reluctant to take up God's call as he spoke to God and said, God, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since, right? I can't speak. But God looks at him and says, look, who made your mouth? We're not saying this morning that as a church we need people that have X, Y, Z as far as academics or incredible Bible knowledge or incredible skill. But we are saying that we need to be praying to God. God, raise up leaders within our local church that would help take us to the next level of what God desires us to do. So specifically, what are we praying for? Well, we're asking God, please provide Sunday school teachers. God, please provide the opportunity for us as a church to have education taking place at our church, spiritual education, on a level that's good. We would never, think that it would be good for the educators at the primary school or the secondary school to have one teacher teaching all those kids. We would say it would be good to have education on P1, P2, P3, P4, S1, S2, S3, S4, and so that smaller group and a teacher that's focused on that age group, giving that age group what they need educationally. It's good for us as a church. Maybe you might say, Pastor, you're dreaming. Okay, let me dream a little bit. Let me look ahead a little bit. Let me think about not when we have two kids or maybe none kids in our Sunday school, but when by the grace of God we have 10, 15, 20 or more children that are coming, that it would be, we would be ready to have people step in and say, I want to get involved in teaching in the Sunday school who are God-called, God-led. My church that I grew up in Hudson, Wisconsin, we had P1 through P3, P4 through P6, S1 through 6 all together. But we had not just P1 through P3 boys class, but we had girls class. Same with P4 to P6. We had a man that would teach the boys. We had a lady that would teach the girls. And you might say, well, who are these people? You know, did they go to Bible college or something like that? No, they were just godly people that were faithful in the church. I thought of names as I was working on this message. Mr. Haspin, Mrs. Eames, Mr. Reed, Mrs. Hansen, Mrs. Brooks. I mean, housewives or lay people in the church that weren't in ministry, had gone to theological school, but could take the Bible and teach children the Bible. I want to say, praise God, Southside Free Baptist Church. Again, we're just 13 years old, but there have been times where we had another Sunday school teacher other than Mrs. Shore that was teaching the kids. We need to pray about that. And say, God, again, I'm just setting a vision for us as a church. We need to pray and ask God to provide that. Why we need that. The church needs that. It'd be great to have somebody else that is called of God to help teach the adult class at times, the adult Sunday school class or things like that. Or when a pastor is absent, to be able to step up and to be able to share from the Word of God. Brother Tommy has done at times, and just open the Bible and share from the Word of God. And so we need to pray about that. And then, God, please provide deacons. Don't worry if you don't get through all of this morning. I know it's a long list. If you're following along, you might go, Pastor, you better hurry up. All right, I'll do my best, but I want to set the vision for us this morning. God, please provide deacons. Deacons. Diakonos, the Greek word, means to run on errands. An attendant. Okay? It's a church servant. It's somebody that takes up the business of the church. With the church property, we've learned this past year that it takes a lot of time. A lot of things that have to be done. And bills sorted through. And accounting of different things and things like that. You know, it would be a tremendous help in God's timing to have deacons that can step into that role and take on a lot of those responsibilities. We have some men already involved in some of those things, but we need to pray more about that. God, we need some servants. The first deacons, if you remember, were appointed to help with the administration to the widows. The Grecian widows weren't getting the food from the soup kitchen or whatever they had, and the people were making that known, and the apostles found out about it, but the apostles wisely said, look, it's not right that we stop preaching and praying and serve tables. We need some godly men that we can find, that we could appoint over this business. They did that, and they chose the first deacon, seven of them, right, that they appointed to them. And so that's the example that God gave, but with pastor and deacons, and I don't have time this morning, but there's qualifications. We might have some godly men in our church that aren't qualified for different reasons to be a deacon. That's going to happen. But we need to ask God, we just some men here to our church that could be deacons that would step into that role, that support role, and really help our church. It's biblical as a Baptist church, two offices, right? Pastor and deacons. And then a third, God, please call full-time ministers from our membership. Our church is a church plant, as I mentioned. We're 13 years old. I am from a Bible Baptist Church in Hudson, Wisconsin. That's our sending church as well. And so I'm a representative out of that church. God worked in my heart as a young person growing up there. God eventually called me to preach. He called me to church planting. He led us to Scotland to start a church. And so now he, in that sense, called us into missions. And so, but I am an outgrowth of the church ministry, Bible Baptist in Hudson, Wisconsin. There's a friend of mine in South Africa that I've spoken about, Dan Haskin. He's a church planter in South Africa. He's also from our church. So our little church in Hudson, Wisconsin, is starting a church in South Africa, starting a church in Scotland. It is also, my brother started a church, High Plains Independent Baptist Church, out in Colorado. That church continues. That is another church that our church, in that sense, started. You know, we ought to pray, God, please, from our church, start other churches. We've got some young people from our family that are in Bible college. Our daughter's getting married to John. John and Kaylee right now pray with them about it. They're praying about the ministry that God wants them to do. And who knows in the future how God's going to lead them or lead others from our church to start other churches. But let's pray, God, please, out of our young people, out of our church family, begin to work in hearts about missionaries or ministry. And let's have that dream. Let's pray about it. And then, letter C. God, please help us to develop our church programs as well, church programs. And again, just realize this morning, I probably am going to just end up going fast forward for you. But I really want us to focus on those two things. God, how can I pray? And God, how can I participate? But church programs are important. I remember a teacher when I was in theological school saying, you know what, programs are not the main thing, but they're like a cage that goes around the tomato plant. And that cage, without that cage, that plant isn't going to bear fruit. Right? It's not going to be as fruitful. And so we look this morning at our church and we think, you know, programs aren't the main thing. The main thing is the fruit, the people, but those programs support those people. And so, again, as we pray about it, what do we need to pray? God, we need your help with our weekly programs. Acts 20, verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Now, they got together, we understand, in the New Testament, upon the first day of the week. And that was the Lord's Day. And that was the main worship service for the early church. For the early church, somebody might say to us something like, Pastor, I don't want to meet 10 o'clock Sunday, 11 o'clock Sunday, 6 o'clock Sunday, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Let's just do what the early church did. Right? And if we did that, how often would we meet? Every day, right? The early church was always getting together, Acts 2:46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It wasn't a drudgery to them to get together. It wasn't like, oh man, I gotta go to church again. It was like, hey, when can we get together? Let's get together. Let's do this for God. God wants us to establish the church. If Jesus called it the body of Christ, let's get it done for God. Right? They were excited about it. Our church has what I call a traditional service schedule. So again, we have 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and then we've got Wednesdays at 7. You might wonder, how did we start? Well, we started with Sunday school and Sunday morning. And we met at a location. There's people that say, how should you start a church? Should you meet with a Bible study in somebody's house? Well, we started all together at the Miners Community Center in Lonehead. And after a year, I was praying. I was asking the Lord, I'd like to add Sunday night, Wednesday night. Lord, would you make it possible for us to add Sunday night, Wednesday night? And I asked the lady, I said, we'd like to get Sunday night and we'd like to get a midweek. Do you have Wednesday at 6 or 7 or Thursday at 6 or 7 available? And she said, well, lady, she's pregnant. Her class is ending at that time slot on Thursday night at 6 o'clock, and you can have that. And God opened the door for us there after 1 year to go to 4 services, a traditional schedule, and have that. You know, modern churches are closing. You know how it starts? One service at a time. They cancel Sunday night. Then they cancel Wednesday night. And then they cancel Sunday school. And then they meet bi-weekly. And then they don't meet. And so we could look at it this morning and say, Pastor, is it really important that I be there at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, or Wednesdays at 7? I'll tell you this, it's vital to everything that God wants us to do. One of the greatest things that anybody could do is to look at that and say, you know what, I see that as important. And so, maybe I can come some more. Maybe there's some more that I can do. And getting together and spending time with the church and having that time. The Bible says it this way. This is not just a good idea by the pastor. This is Bible. Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And it says this, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be looking at it in our day and saying, Jesus Christ is coming soon. We have got to get on the ball as a church. And church, we've got to assemble. You know what's happened? And our church wouldn't know this unless you come to all the services. At some points this year, we've almost gotten 2 churches. We've got a church that comes Sunday morning. And we've got a church that comes Sunday night. And actually, I can almost say 3. And we've got a church that comes Wednesday night. It used to be everybody came Sunday morning. And that was normal. And maybe they came back Sunday night. Maybe they came back Wednesday night. But what's happening is people are kind of looking at it, maybe like, hey, you know, if I can get there once a week, I'll just come once a week. And again, just as a church, as we're praying about it, I'm just sharing my heart as pastor this morning, that we pray and say, God, help us to stay together as a church. Help us not to be two churches or three churches. Help us be a church that knows the kids that come on Wednesday night, because I'm there on Wednesday night. And I know their names. I'm praying for them. I can name them before us tonight. They're worthy of prayer, and they're worthy of the encouragement that an adult gives them as they're there on Wednesday night to say, look, I am glad that you're here tonight. I'm thankful that you took the time to come. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. And I want to see God do a great work in your life. I'm here tonight because I care that much about you, and I care that much about the Lord. And again, I'm not saying that to make us maybe feel bad. If we can't come on Sunday night, if we can't come on Wednesday night, or if there's a time where we can't come on Sunday morning, but I am saying to us, it would be good for us to look at it and say, you know what, maybe I could come on Sunday night. Maybe I could come on Wednesday night. Maybe I could come at Sunday school at 10 o'clock. You know, again, that's going to be a great opportunity for our church to encourage each other in the Lord about what our Bible reading is, and to be here at the start of the day on a Sunday morning just to get a great start for the church and say, I'm here to support God's work and honor our Lord and to do something for our Savior. Oh, God, help us to do that, right? And so let's pray about it. But as we pray about it, we've got to be willing to say, God, but if I'm really going to be praying about Wednesday night, God bless Wednesday night, why am I not there unless I can't be there? If I'm really going to be praying about Sunday school, and God bless it with kids, how can I, again, really pray about that unless I'm there? And again, I just take us to the Lord this morning and say, you know what, I believe God desires us to have a strong Sunday school. God desires us to have a strong Sunday morning. God desires us to have a strong Sunday night. Say, dear God, help me to support those things. I'm going to fast forward here. There's monthly things we can pray about. There's annual things we can pray about. And I'm just going to kind of fly through some things here, maybe as I continue to just set some things in front of us. But God, please help us to see souls saved. Help us to see souls saved. That's what it's about. Luke 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in his harvest field. And Jesus is saying, hey, the world is out there to reach. The gospel needs to get to them. They need to get saved. Jesus Christ died for their salvation. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Would to God we just weep together as a church and say, dear God, send forth laborers. Lonehead needs Jesus Christ. Bilston needs Jesus Christ. Pennycook needs Jesus Christ. Corbridge needs Jesus Christ. Trinette, and I can just name these areas. They need the gospel. Dear God, help us to get the gospel to them. We've got to pray about it. He said pray. But we've also got to go. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they cannot believe? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? We can pray for our neighbors to get saved, but we've got to take those opportunities to put some gospel literature through their door, to speak to them about Jesus Christ. You know, somebody that sows can expect to reap. A farmer knows that. As he invests in that soil that's there, he knows that if you put the work in, the effort in, that harvest is going to come. Look, as a church, we ought to expect that we're going to reap according to our sowing, that there is going to be a harvest for those that invest in God's work. Matthew 13:23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. You know, Jane and William would not be saved if it wasn't for the grace of God. We knocked on their door this past year. Actually, Jane would have been 2022, I think, the end of 2022. But in 2023, she accepted Christ. William, we knocked on his door this year, and praise God, he accepted Christ. Sam's family, they come to our church because we knocked on their door. And so again, we look at that and say, that's effective, but God, help us to do that. Oh, God, help us with the gospel. I don't have time this morning to spend more time there, except to say, as you pray about it, God will answer. God gave some witnessing opportunities this past week with one of my neighbors, with a man at Costco. But I'll tell you this, the Lord reminded me, I need to pray and ask God for divine appointments, those opportunities to share Christ. God, help us to reach our area with the gospel. And then God, please bless our missions program. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we've heard about the evangelism in our area. We do it by flyers, door-to-door, street preaching. And you can be a participant in that as God leads in that. Saturdays we do door-to-door. Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. And so you want to participate, you're welcome to. But missions is different, right? Not every single one of us could leave our home country and move to another country to be involved in missions in that way. But as a church, we've got three missionaries that we support. And right now, $125 a month. Our church does that through tithing off of our general fund giving and then giving specifically to missions offerings. And so, as a church, again, we're going to be praying even this month and asking God, God, what can I give to missions? What can I invest in your work and taking the gospel to the world? And so as God supplies and is praying about, God, who can we support? I mentioned the D'Amelios. We're going to be praying very earnestly about that as a church this month and asking God what he desires us to do. Now, I fast forwarded. I want to end with this point tonight, or this morning. And I want to share with you, I gave this point 5 years ago. I've set this out before our church before. But this is what my notes say, and I'm gonna read them to you, and I want you to consider if God answers prayer. It says this: God, please provide a permanent location. This is what it says: God has given us some closed doors so far in our desire to obtain the building. However, God will open the door in His timing, and we need to be ready to step through. And you might think, well, Pastor, you probably did this 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. No, this was 2016. And so it says, God bless our building fund. And God did. God gave us, to this point, I would guess, around 430,000 pounds in the last 2 years. Would there be anybody that would think that's not God? That God hasn't done that? I mean, that's tremendous what God has done. But then in my notes it says, ask God to please provide a building. It says it will be a miracle, but God is the worker of miracles. What is amazing about God is when it's time to do it, it will all fall into place very simply. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Interestingly, we claim Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm not a prophet this morning, but I am very convinced that God is a God that answers prayer, and that as a church, as we believe God and say, God, would you do something, as we sit this morning in a miracle of God's provision, that we ought to step back from what we're thinking about praying and say, you know what, God answers prayer tremendously. It also says, please provide the workers and skills when a building is required. And I put there, our church in New York City obtained an old fish market. Much work was required. Mission teams came and helped, and the men of the church helped. And it says, when God supplies, we may have to get our hands dirty in the work of the Lord. Let's pray and participate. Have we seen that this past year? I look at that and I go, man, that's exactly that. That's exactly what we've done. So as I'm preaching this morning, I'm saying, pray and participate, pray and participate. I know this. I'm not saying something that's unbiblical or contrary to the Word of God. It's absolutely the way forward for our church. And if we'll go to God in faith and say, dear God, we've got to see it work. That God will answer, but that we've got to look at it and say, okay, God, what can I do? What can I do? You know, you might be a bit overwhelmed at the list. You might think, Pastor, that's a big list. But all we got to do is look at it and say, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to begin to take that to the Lord, ask God about that. And I'm not just going to pray. I'm going to participate. As the Bible says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It'd be vain this morning. It'd be vain to pray, God, reach people with the gospel and not to ever give the gospel yourself. It would be vain to say, God, build the services and not be committed to saying, okay, God, if you want me to go to more church services, I'll do that. It'd be vain to ask God to raise up leadership and not be willing to step in there and say, okay, I can do something for God. I can help. Maybe I could be a greeter at the door. I could organize maybe church clean days for pastors so pastor doesn't have to do that. I mean, there's so many ways that somebody could be praying through this list and think, you know what, I can do something about that and be a part of the answer ourselves. And so some may think, well, I just won't pray then. You know, it's too much. I'm just not going to pray. Well, what's that going to do for God? Make sense? But if we look at it and say, dear God, this is your work. It's for your glory. And you really desire to do something here. And I see the hand of God. And I see that you're working. I want to get involved with you. If we'll do that, wow. We can see God do tremendous things coming into 2024. And so I don't share this morning to burden this. I say it to challenge us. I say it to encourage us as we look at 2024, that when we get to the end of 2024, we'll be able to look back and say, maybe something like this. Pastor, you challenged us at the end of 2023 to pray. And I took that seriously. And I was praying, and then I had to participate. And God worked in my heart. And because of that, God's really grown me this past year. God's really impacted my family. God's really impacted our church. God's really impacted maybe the attendance in our children and our Sunday school hour, our attendance of our children on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, the attendance of our church. We've seen souls saved. We've seen lives changed. We've seen people baptized. The church is thriving. I'll just say this. If we pray in faith and we participate with God in this vision, I really believe God's going to do something great. So the question is, what are you going to do? Because it's not about Pastor Ben for you. It's about Pastor Ben for Pastor Ben. I have to decide this year for it. What am I going to do? And each one of us needs to evaluate that. And to honestly say to God, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do would be the best thing. And God, I want to get more involved for you and for your glory. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God take the truth of God this morning. I mean, this is a long list, and it's kind of a grocery list of what we desire. Father, if we could just walk through that aisle, I would love it. We could just pick out faithful men and faithful women and young people called into ministry and a soul saved and souls baptized and people involved in evangelism and our attendance in Sunday school strong, our attendance on Sunday morning strong, our attendance on Sunday night and Wednesday night strong. And Father, a people excited about the things of God, a godly people, a faithful people. And I don't say this morning to belittle us. I say this for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I believe, according to the Word of God, that this is what you intend for us to pray about. And Father, that as a church, we look at that and say, Pastor, thank you for laying that out. Thank you for challenging me. Because by the grace of God, Father, if we take this to heart, 2024 could be the most remarkable year at Southside Free Baptist Church. And Father, that's my prayer for God and for God's glory. May you be magnified. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up, please, and we'll sing a hymn of invitation, 418, Trust and Obey.